Welcome to my healing world. This is Monica from monica.ca, and I'm here to spend another day with you in the art of healing. It starts with a day of contemplation through either meditation or yoga. I cannot walk away from my own body and my own mind, because ultimately it is the base of how my life appears. If my inside is hyperreactive, then nothing about my life will calm it down. So there's a thing called self-soothing. I have coined it self-soothing because the only person that can actually help you is yourself. I know that people are out there self-soothing any way they can. You know, some people, they get up, they jack themselves up on coffee and, you know, the sugar donut, and that's for them, their custom of becoming alive. At my age, I just am so much more respectful of my body. I've hit that mid-century mark, and I have another, hopefully, 25 to 35 or 45 years to go, and I have to lay the base out I know will become my future. And the only way I can do that is just to be in my moment. I know that many of you have spent time doing much research on finding your peace. You do it either through the therapy of shopping or through the therapy of exercise or through the therapy of traveling. We all have our ways of self-soothing, and my way of self-soothing stems from injuries that I incurred 20 years ago. But maybe even because physically is only the end manifestation, everything starts first with a thought and emotion migrates to physical as the end result. Everything that I study is always bringing me back to my thoughts and how am I contemplating my life? How am I creating my life? Today I'm just going to talk to you about how I self-soothe, and the reason why I, as a registered shiatsu therapist, most of my information is on monica.ca, monica.ca. As a registered shiatsu therapist, I've palpated many, many, many clients. You only touch the surface when you're giving a person a massage. You know, most of the time, I can knock a person right out. Within 30 minutes, they're asleep and snoring on my table. And I know that I can do a lot of the stuff on the surface. But when that person wakes up, what do they take away with themselves? Is there anything that they've learned that will serve them? I prefer my method of... I injured myself to the point where I realized there was nobody that can get me out of the drama and trauma that I have created for my life, for me to see. And the greatest lesson was just to be in the moment, not in my past, not in the future, just here in the moment with everything that happens, just to be aware of how you take in the information, how you retain it, how you just don't let your life escape from you, where you become unconscious and you don't even know where you put your shoe. You take your keys, you put them down, you don't know where they are, where your glasses are. I mean, I know that for myself, I just want to slow my life down so that I'm aware of how my life is unfolding. Because it is only one life that I will have. And I would like to have that unfolding to be nurturing and thriving for me so that I can continue my trust and belief that each moment is going to be as the last moment. One of the great ways that I've found to self-soothe is to start educating myself on the endocrine system. The endocrine system consists of glands within the body that actually take the energy that we get from the combustion of food and air and water coming into the body and transfers those gases into usable secretions, glandular secretions that actually manufacture and create the physical body. There's three in the head. One is called the pituitary gland, one is the pineal gland, and one's called the hypothalamus. So we have those three that are at the top of your head. I think mainly headstands are designed to activate those. So a lot of the forehead touching on the ground in customs, that's to activate those glandular functions. I mean, just the rocking forward and back almost starts that kind of blender-like whirl of getting things to dissipate into the flesh. At your forehead, where they call the third eye, near your brow, is where the pineal gland is. So that's a lot of the different customs in all the Asian arts are designed to make contact with that piece. One of the most amazing things that I've learned in my study of yoga is that there are practices of people who actually are able to take the tongue, roll it back, and actually come and touch the pineal gland through the different bones and tissues in the back of your eye and just go up and touch the pineal gland. And one of the things that I picked up along the way is that, you know, there are people that actually work that tongue so that you get the flexibility so you can make that kind of contact. Another way to get these glandular juices to migrate in a proper sequence is to take the tongue, put it on the back of the front teeth, and leave it there so that you're actually making a contact between the tongue and the heart. The meridian line that runs from the tip of the tongue into the top of the head through the top of the palate. The next thing I'd like to know you to know is that there's a gland called the thyroid gland in your throat, and there's a lot of different mechanisms that the thyroid does for the body. One of them is energy, and I know that there's, through my massage, my palpating, that a lot of people have very tight necks, and I've been really asking my clients to take their throat and use the muscles to operate it. You know, just like a baby suckles. You just want to take that motion of swallowing and understand that it is moving muscle and fluids and food and energy through your throat down into the chest cavity. Lots of blood in the teeth that can be massaged or manipulated to move better just with the swallowing action. So you take the throat and you just swallow. I mean, I think a lot of the addictions of the world, such as smoking or drinking, it's just because we don't have that within our cultures to do that motion on our own. We have to use the act of food or the act of just, you know, bringing in things to get that motion to happen. And the other day it was very fun. I was listening to one of my teachers, and he had us splinting our mouth so that we get better transmission of information through the jaw. And how you do that is you take your fingers and put it up to the front of your mouth and you make them so they stay even. Now that would just offset the jaw a little bit, because most of us have our chins back and under, so there's an overbite, and that causes a lot of autonomic nervous tension because the jaw is not freely swinging anymore. It's trapped by the top teeth. So what you want to do is just put your finger right up against your mouth like that. And if you're at Starbucks or you're at Michael's, just pick up some of those little tiny popsicle sticks, or go, go to the craft store and get yourself some popsicle sticks. Go to the store and buy a popsicle and stick it in there. What you want to do is make small enough pieces so that you put them in your mouth and you splint both sides so that they are even. If there's a bigger hole on one side, you want to put two sticks there and one stick on the other side. Keep the tongue, keep the teeth flushed and just pressure through the jaw. And you'll start realizing that your TMJ, your jaw muscles, will start to kind of lengthen out. And then you get better, clearer information going through your neck into your head, through blood or lymph. And, you know, all that stuff underneath your chin starts to drain out because you have the right positioning of the jaw. I hope you can do that. I mean, if you need any more clarification, just give me a call. I will tell you how it's done. Because it's an easy thing to do. I do it in the car. I do it in front of my computer. I do it when I'm working on my biofeedback machine. If I'm watching a movie on TV, I have it in my jaw. I mean, I'm always doing work because I want my form to set in a way that creates this fluidity that moves through my body and is able to not trap and inflame the tissue in the joints. So, especially in the jaw, that was a great little piece for me, and I love it. I mean, I literally feel champagne going up and down my spine just because finally whatever has been kind of, you know, the valve got shut down, it opens, and I'm able to sense that there is movement that is pleasant and, again, soothing for my body. So that's the whole throat region that I want to work on, is just making you swallow. Now, all that just, again, flows down through the body, and there's another gland in your heart. Now, a long time ago, I was taught that every day you should at least tap your thymus, which is located in between your two breasts. You just want to tap that space four times a day, and that will activate the thymus. All the heart issues, the pericardium issues, the lungs, that will help just move some of the energy so that those organs will become manifested in a more healthier way. So we move on down, and by the kidneys in the back of you, there's a adrenal gland. And adrenal is something that supplies you with even more energy for your body. I mean, everyone's saying, oh, your adrenals are low. Well, the adrenals are near your kidneys, and you want to do things like forward bends. You want to keep the belly button supporting the kidneys and the adrenals from the front. So you keep those belly buttons tucked in so that the adrenals are kept snuggled up against your spine. And as I say, I mean, every time you do a pump, it will start an activation of those hormonal juices that are needed to help you manifest your physical being. And that's why for me, studying the endocrine system has been such a joy in the last 2 years. First of all, putting it together where they are, and second of all, creating a structure or a framework that allows them to work better. Literally, I mean, I'm doing my best as I can to just figure it out so that I am clear about how I'm helping myself stay regenerating, not degenerating. So the last organs for the endocrine system is the sexual gonads. It's right where your pelvis is. You know, again, the Kegel is the most important piece of activating that endocrine system. You want to be able to keep your tone in your pelvis and in your pelvic floor so that you're constantly moving the hips around and not getting them frozen or non-articulating. You want to have that Kegel motion so that you're able to kind of eke out some space for the gonads, the sexual organs, to function. I mean, they don't just sit there like lumps. It's about keeping the blood moving. Now, if you listen to any of my podcasts about how to set up the form of the legs, you'll see that the legs actually fit into the hips, which are what surrounds the sexual reproductive organs. And so your legs and the connection of your legs into your torsos really help with how things will show up for you in your prostate and in your sexual organs and in your colon. You know, just learning to do a Kegel, whether you're a man or a woman, is the most simplest thing to do. My gift to you is to just give you some tools and to awaken you to the thought of learning your endocrine system. I hope you enjoyed this. Welcome to my healing world. And my name is Monica, and my website is monica.ca. And I hope you had a great day wherever you are. Please give me a shout and tell me if it all makes sense to you. And if it doesn't, give me a call. I'll definitely clarify anything that you need. So happy to be of service to you. Namaste.